Okay, so as we said last week, we are learning the fourth Chelek of Tanya, which is a Chelek that was added only after the Alter Rebbe's death, and these are called Igeres HaKodesh, which literally means the holy letter, but there's a whole kasha, really it's a bunch of letters, and basically after the Baal Tanya died, just to remind people, so the sons went through whatever Michtavim that they had, that he had sent to different people, and they were malakeh from the letters, those things that they thought would be of interest to understand something in Torah or Musar or Hadracha. And there's a total of 32 letters in the Igeres HaKodesh. Some of them are simple letters, and some of them are very complicated. In fact, Kabbalistically, at least some of the letters are the most complicated discussions in the whole Tanya. So you think the letters will be like an easy, Baruch Hashem, now we're just going to read letters. You know, the letters are themselves very difficult. But some of the letters are relatively pashut. And they give you a little bit of a more personal view of how the Alter Rebbe actually dealt with his chassidim in many, many different ways. Now, I had mentioned that of the 32 letters, they deal with a lot of different topics. I just wrote down. The topic that is dealt with over and over and over again is tzedakah. And in fact, of the 32 letters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 14 of the 32 letters are about tzedakah. And the reason is that the Alter Rebbe himself was a very big gabbai tzedakah, particularly for Eretz Yisrael. What happened was that, you know, the Alter Rebbe was a Talmud of the Maggid of Mezerich, who himself was the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Maggid of Mezerich had all of the people who became the famous Hasidic Rebbes in Europe. The founders of the dynasties were the Talmidim of the Maggid of Mezerich. You have Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. You have Rav Zucha. You have the Rebbe, Rebbe Limelech. You have the Rebbe of Koznitz. These are all famous, famous. And in fact, they say that the Maggid took a map of Europe, and he divided the countries, and he determined which person should be the founder of Hasidus in that country, based on the personality of the Jews. So the Alter Rebbe was actually given Lithuania, because Lithuania was very rational, less emotional. They needed a very intellectual type of Hasidus, and Chabad, Chachma bin Adas, was very philosophical, very intellectual. So the truth of the matter is, in Lita, although again, our picture of Chabad today isn't necessarily that, it changed a little bit. But in Lita, the only Hasidus that took root in Lithuania, and it was pretty strong, was Chabad. Because Chabad had an intellectual bent, and of course the Alter Rebbe himself was a great guy in Gemara, in Halacha, so he was someone that the Litvak could respect. Litvaks would not respect a Hasidic Rebbe that was not a great, great guy in Torah. But the Alter Rebbe didn't start off as a Rebbe, and initially he was the youngest of the Maggid Talmidim, and his Rebbe, not his Rebbe, but his Rebbe Chaver, meaning the older disciple who was kind of his Chaver, was Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk. And the Alter Rebbe started off as kind of the assistant to Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, and Rav Menachem Mendel made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael with a bunch of Hasidim. And that's when the Alter Rebbe kind of became the Rebbe of the Hasidus in not just Lithuania, but Belarus, which is White Russia. Again, those are adjacent territories. You understand that Jewish Lithuania is not exactly the same as political Lithuania. When a person is a Litvak does not mean that they come necessarily from the country that is modern Lithuania. I mean, that changes all the time. Goes Poland, Russia, whatever it is. Rather, Jewish Lita included large portions of Russia as well, particularly Belarus. So Belarus, like Minsk. Minsk is not in Lithuania. Vilna is in Lithuania. Kovna is in Lithuania. Minsk is in Belarus. Mir is in Belarus. But in the sense of what is Jewish Lithuanian culture, so to speak, it does include that. Now, they used to say, there was an old joke, which, you know, may actually be somewhat true, that, you know, Polish gefilte fish is sweet, and Litvish gefilte fish is peppery. So they used to say whenever they had, the government had some suffix, you know, something within Lithuania or Poland, they should bring the Jews in and taste the gefilte fish. If it's peppery, it's Litvisha, and if it's sweet, it's Polish. Okay, but be it as it may, it is important to know that the Litvisha Yeshivisha world and that culture and that particular approach to Avodas Hashem is not automatically connected to the political boundaries of the country that is called Lithuania. Okay, but given that point, the Alter Rebbe took on in the Achrayas, because in those days, things are not so different today even, but in those days there literally was no Parnassa in Eretz Israel. There was no Parnassa. If a Kehila went to Aliyah, they had to be supported from Chutz Laretz. So the Alter Rebbe took the Achrayas of supporting Rav Menachem Mendel's Kehila, which was over 100 families in Eretz Israel. And the Alter Rebbe's Hasidim themselves were very poor. Who had money? Right? So the Alter Rebbe is constantly fundraising. But he doesn't just fundraise. He doesn't send letters saying, you know, give money. He goes Kabbalistically, what Tzedakah does, and therefore there's a lot of Kabbalah in terms of what the mitzvah of Tzedakah is. But the reason why he emphasizes it again and again and again and again is he needed to collect money, particularly for the Jews in Eretz Israel. And he was collecting money from very, very poor people. Now it's meforsam that even though the Gemara says you should not give away more than 20% of your income for tzedakah, right? Miser you have to give, 10% you have to give, and if you can give up to 20%, that is good, but you're not allowed to give more than 20%. You're not supposed to give more than 20%. Hamavazbeis, al yavazbeis, Yoser Mechomesh, right? This is in the Gemara. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. But it's meforsam that the Alter Rebbe, in his own Shulchan Aruch, and this is very consistent, I didn't see it in the letters here, but it's very consistent with the fundraising, Paskins, that if a person is giving tzedakah to get forgiveness for Haveris, he says the limitation of Chaimish doesn't apply. And the reason is, because if Chas V'Shalom, a person has Averos, Hashem may decree death upon them, sickness, and it says tzedakah saves a person from death. So for Shteitzach, if a person needed an operation to save his life, he would vadai spend more than 20%. So Memela, the Alter Rebbe says, if I spend tzedakah so I'll live, I'll be forgiven. For Shteitzach, the din of Chaimish doesn't apply. I mean, the problem with that svara is that applies in 100. In other words, when you have an exception that applies to 100% of the cases, then you got to wonder when will there ever be a rule. Meaning, Chazal give us a rule: you're not supposed to give more than Chaimish. The Alter Rebbe says, okay, that's right. You're not allowed to give more than Chaimish, but there's an exception to the rule when you give tzedakah for kapara savonis. But that's not like an exception to the rule. 100% of the time, since even the biggest tzaddikim have averos. Every single person is giving tzedakah for kaparas averos. So it's always a kasha when you create an exception that is so comprehensive that it covers 100% of the cases. You know, there's going to be a shaila. How can that be true if there is a rule? According to the Alter Rebbe, I would ask the Alter Rebbe, give me one case where the rule applies as opposed to the exception. I don't know. Okay, but say it. But this is meforsim. Yeah.
Specifically if like your Avera was like, not giving tzedakah earlier on in your life, so this is like to make up for it.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying, but Lamaisa, he doesn't, that's not what he says. He says kapara savonos generally, he says. Okay, but be it as it may, you understand he's talking to people who's giving tzedakah that's more than a fifth of what they have. They basically don't have anything at all. And I had mentioned last week, again, forgive me for repeating, that the Alter Rebbe himself lived by the standards that he imposed on others. He himself got married into a very, very wealthy family that gave him a huge dowry, and he and his Rebbetzin gave it all away. They didn't give a fifth away, they gave 100% away to tzedakah, and that is how he lived his life, and that was the example he gave for his chassidim of tremendous mesiras nefesh tzedakah. So the single theme that he talks about most in all of the Igros is the union of tzedakah, and particularly the mitzvah of tzedakah for the Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. And sometimes it's straightforward, other times it's very Kabbalistic. So we're going to look at two aspects of it. And I'm going to skip around a little bit. First, I want to look at Igeres Chaf Aleph, which is letter 21. And here, he makes a very, very interesting point. That's kedai to be aware of this point. He says that all of his chassidim were given an annual obligation. How much money, right? You're assessed. You have to give $1,000. You have to give $1,000 a year to the Eretz Yisrael Fund, right? Everybody was assessed. And if you want to give more, you can give more, but you can't give less. So the Alter Rebbe writes in his fundraising letter, I encourage you that instead of giving me $1,000 at the end of the year, you give me something every week. Divide your yearly obligation by the number of weeks and give me a donation every week or l'chol apachos every month. It would be better for you to give more donations than one big donation, even if the sum of the individual donations is equal, is no bigger than the big donation. And he gives, now, practically, that works simply because there's a cash flow problem. The people in Eretz Yisrael need to buy food every week. They can't just get one thing at the end of the year. But the Alter Rebbe does not just rest on practical considerations. He gives two svaras. Svara number one is that in all mitzvos, not just tzedakah, in all mitzvos, there's an inyan that is called zerizim makdimim lemitzvos. What is zerizus? Zerizus means that you do a mitzvah as quickly as you can with the most enthusiasm that you can. And the Alter Rebbe points out that zerizus in a mitzvah might be a bigger zechus than even the mitzvah itself. And the proof is from Avraham Avinu. The raya of zerizim makdimim lemitzvos is when Avraham Avinu was commanded to bring Yitzchak as a korban. So the pasuk emphasizes Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. Avraham got up in the morning, early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey. Why did he have to get up early in the morning, first thing in the morning, to kill his son? So it says, Zerizim Makdimim LeMitzvos. And as we learn out, that for any mitzvah, any commandment of God, you try to do it as quickly as you can. Because that shows your enthusiasm, that shows your cheshek. And he even goes on and says that is Avraham Avinu's great merit in the Akedah. You know, we pray, we always ask Hashem, remember the merit of Avraham Avinu, who was willing to slaughter his son Yitzchak. So the Alter Rebbe writes, this is Shtickel Chiddush, that listen, many parents over the years have been willing to die Al Kiddush Hashem or even lose their children. It's a great thing, but L'maisa, it's not unparalleled that we have Mesiras Nefesh. So he wants to say that the zechus of the Akedah was not simply Avraham's willingness to shecht Yitzchak, but and Yitzchak's willingness to die, but the zerizus and the simcha that Avraham employed. The zerizus was unique. The zerizus was special. And this is zerizin makdimim. The mitzvahs, you'll recall, in the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, who goes over the different levels of Avodas Hashem from the lowest to the highest, Ruach HaKodesh. So the lowest level, the starting point, is called Zehirus. Zehirus is caution. And that basically means you're careful not to violate a single law of the Torah. That's the starting point. That's the lowest point. Right? You're careful not to violate anything. Okay? That's Zehirus. And then comes Zerizus, where you not only keep everything, but you do it with enthusiasm, with simcha, with alacrity. In other words, Zerizus is not just fast. It really refers to a certain attitude. Enthusiasm, simcha, joy, and the like. Yeah, did you want to say?
Yeah, could it maybe also link to that, what the Rambam says, the fear of a mask and where you...
Right, Baruch Hashem. That's the next point. I'm going 100% correct. He brings... Very good, Baruch Shekivanta. That's exactly the next point that the Alter Rebbe brings. So the first point he brings is the inyan of Zerizim Makdimim LeMitzvos, which is Shayach L'chola Terakula. That's not Miyuchat Tzedakah. That applies to davening, that applies to every mitzvah. I try to do it as quickly as I can. I don't mean to say finish it as quickly. I don't mean daven as quickly as you can, but you know, you want to start a mitzvah as soon as you can start it. Therefore, he says, it's better for you to give the tzedakah early than give it late. But then he brings another idea from the Rambam, like exactly what you said, that it says in Pirkei Avos, Hakayel Lefi Rov HaMa'aseh, which literally means everything is in accordance with Rov, how many actions you've done. The Hashem judges you based on how many mitzvahs you've done. So the Rambam gives an amazing chiddush. It really is a chiddush. The Rambam says, if you have $1,000 and you can choose to give it once to one person, or you can give a dollar to 1,000 people 1,000 times, the Rambam says it is better to do 1,000 actions of charity than to do one big action of charity. Now the svara of the Rambam, in fact, halacha, it's not clear we pass like the Rambam, because I'll give you examples where it may not work. In the Baal HaTanya's case, it works, but in the Rambam's own case, it may not work. But let me tell you the Rambam. So the Rambam's svara is, because part of why we give tzedakah is we're margil ourselves, we habituate ourselves in the midah of kindness and racham. Right? Maisim of chesed develop qualities of character. Meaning, instead of saying, I give tzedakah because I have rachmanas, we go with the opposite of you. If you give tzedakah, you will acquire rachmanas. This is the famous idea, Adam nifal kefi pu'ulosav, a person's emotions are influenced by their actions. So the Rambam says, the idea of actions influencing emotions is based on how often they are repeated. The more they're done, the more they're mashpia on you. So, the Rambam writes, I give one big tzedakah thing, that's only one action, even though it's a big thing. I do it 1,000 times, and mela, it's mezachech, it purifies my soul. Now, the Baal HaTanya therefore tells his chassidim, listen, you'll get a much greater benefit by giving your donation in many installments, instead of one big thing at the end of the year, or whatever it is, based on the Rambam's idea of Hakol Lefi Reif HaMaaseh. Now, the kasha I have in the Rambam, which actually is not going to be a kasha in the Baal HaTanya situation, is, it all depends what you're looking at. If you're looking at tzedakah as a way of developing rachamim, then the Rambam's point is a very, very strong point. You develop rachamim by repetition. But tzedakah has another idea as well, and that is the tayelus. What are you accomplishing with your money? Now, I give a dollar to 1,000 people. You know, what have I really done? I give a shekel to 1,000 people, right? So everybody has a shekel. So what can you get with a shekel? What can you get with a dollar? They'll spend it in a day, you know. If I give somebody $1,000, maybe I take care of a family for a whole week, or whatever it is. No. In the Baal HaTanya's case, it actually does work, because there you're getting, because it's all going to the same people. The question is, give them in multiples or give them one big? So there, if I give it in multiples, I got the two advantages. I'm still helping the family with the total, and I'm improving my mitos by repetitive action. But in the Rambam's case, if the Rambam is positing, give it to 1,000 people or give it to one person, it's not so pashut to me that in Hilchas Tzedakah, we would always tell you to divide your big tzedakah among a lot of recipients. We would sometimes say, put it to where it does the most good. But the Rambam's point is still a nekudah, and that nekudah is that Hakol Lefi Reiv HaMaaseh, that your midos tovos are improved. They develop by repetition, and therefore multiple repetition is superior to one big action.
Doesn't the Torah give that priority, so you should give the offer to you first? You shouldn't just follow that. That gives you that kind of act in another order.
No, that would be true. That would be true. But the Rambam obviously is talking about where, in terms of priorities, everybody's the same. I mean, you are correct that the priorities for family, etc., would come first. But you still may have a shaila, you know. I have a bunch of relatives; they're all my cousins. So should I give $1,000 to one cousin, or $5 to my 200 cousins? So the Rambam says, give $5 to your 200 cousins. Yeah.
Well, maybe according to the Rambam, if it was only about giving money to people, then we could theoretically have one rich person who supports the entire community, and then
right.
No one's giving tzedakah.
Right.
But this way, everybody's giving a little bit of tzedakah, and everybody's helping out, and so it doesn't just go to the...
If you have enough people... Okay, in other words, the assumption is everybody will be doing this. So if everybody will be doing this, so instead of me giving you $1,000, there'll be a lot of people giving you a little bit, which will give you the same amount or maybe more. Okay, that in a whole society, it's gonna hopefully work out in that way. Now, then the Baal HaTanya takes the same svara. So he has two reasons why he's telling his chassidim to divide their donation and spread it over time. One is that by doing it as soon as you can, that is called zerizim makdimim lemitzvahs, which is a general idea. The second idea is the Rambam, Hakol Lefi Reiv Hamasa, that you build Midos Tovos by doing this. Then he brings a Kabbalistic reason, which he only addresses briefly in Chaf Aleph, but I'm going to go back to Gimel for a bigger explanation, because it's explained in different letters, where he basically says that Chazal say that Tzedakah brings Geula. Tzedakah brings us closer to Mashiach. Every time we give Tzedakah, we're mamshich, we pull in the light of God into the world. And he brings a point that this is also toloi on the number of actions that you do, not the size of the action. That's the lashon in Mishle, pu'ulas tzedakah l'chayim. Pu'ulas, the action of charity, brings divine life and divine energy into the world. And therefore, he says, by many, many actions, you are makarev the geula. That's kind of taking the same conclusion of the Rambam, but giving it a different spiritual twist. It's not simply it makes you a better person. Like the Rambam emphasizes, it makes you a better person. The Baal HaTanya says, it is makarev the geula, because every time you give tzedakah, you're bringing the light of Hashem more into the world, and therefore if I do it 10 times, I've brought 10 measures of light into the world. If I only do it once, I've only brought 1 measure, and therefore repetitive action will be the way to go. So that is what he says in Chaf Aleph. Again, I'll go back and explain that. Now, I just want to also mention Chaf Beis, which is not about tzedakah, but it's really, really a very, very interesting letter. It's a very famous letter, and you could ask Kashas a little bit on Chabad as it developed based on this letter. The Alter Rebbe starts off in letter Chaf Beis, and this is a public letter to his Chassidim. Ahuvai, my beloved ones. Achai, my brothers. Reai, my friends. Right? Laman Achai v'Reai. Me'ava misuteres, from a hidden love that I have for you, Teichecha Megula, I'm going to give you open rebuke. This is actually a phrase in Mishlei, that sometimes open rebuke comes from hidden love. That if you really, really love your child, love your Talmud, you'll give them Musar. So it's Teichecha Megula, it's open rebuke coming from a hidden love. And what is he so upset about? He's upset about something. He says, I'll read you a few lines. And all of this is our Lashinus from Sukkot. It's actually, you'd literally, if you were to annotate, you know, every phrase here, like every phrase is like a pasuk or a chazal, that's the way he writes. He says, Zachor Yemos Olam, remember the days of history. Binu Shnos, this is from Hazinu. Binu Shnos Dor V'Dor, understand the years of every generation. Hai Haisa Zos Mimos Olam. Has there, you don't know what he's going to talking about yet, just reading it. Has there ever been such a thing from the beginning of time? Ayei eifo matzasem minog zeh, where did you find this minog that you have? Biachad mikol sifrei chachmei Yisrael, is there a single book of any of the sages of Israel that has ever created this minog? Rishaynim achraynim, So now you're wondering, like, what is he saying? So this is what it is. Lios minog vasikin lishol bi'etza gashmias. Kedas ma lasos bi'inyane ha'olam ha'gashmi. Right? People come to a Hasidic Rebbe and they say, I have two business deals. Shall I invest my money in a restaurant? Or should I invest my money in the stock market? People ask the Babaji Rebbe all the time. And people ask the Baal HaTanya, because they probably didn't have enough money for either of those things. But whatever it would be, they would ask him about Gashmis, they would ask him for a bracha for Parnasa. They would ask him for a bracha that they should be successful in a business. And the Alter Rebbe doesn't like it. He says, since when do you go to a Rebbe for inyanim of Gashmis? You go to a Rebbe for Torah, you go to a Rebbe for Hashkafa, you go for a Rebbe for Avodas Hashem. And he makes the point, and this is very interesting. He says, the Chachmas HaTorah does not give a person a key in knowledge of Gashmias. Because he says, Gashmias Dika Inyonim can only be known through Nevuah. A Navi can help you even in Gashmias. Just, that's why when Shaul HaMelech, before he was king, if you remember there's a story, he lost some donkeys, and he went to the Navi Shmuel to ask him where the donkeys were. Nevuah is Hashem's gift to Am Yisrael. Nevuah works even on the Inyanim of Gashmias. People went to the Navi, they lost their keys, they lost their donkeys. The Navi would help them. And if you remember, the Gemara in Megillah says there were many, many Navim. Some of them are not even known to us. In Tanakh, we only have 48 Nevi'im, men, male Nevi'im, and 7 Nevi'os, a total of 55. But, in reality, the Gemara in Megillah says, you had as many Nevi'im as left Mitzrayim. 600,000 people were Nevi'im. And some say Kiflayim, some say double, 1,200,000. So how come we don't know their names? So it mentions, the only Nevi'im that are in Tanakh are the Nevi'im that are giving you a permanent Nevuah that we need to learn from in all generations. There were many Nevi'im. It's quite amazing. We wouldn't think about this. They were not given any great message to Am Yisrael. They were not given an eternal teaching. They made their living, call them journeyman Nevi'im, they made their living by, you know, helping people find their lost property, or giving them aces for success in business. Now, you might say, well, that doesn't sound so special to me. But you have to understand, if you're a Navi, by definition, you've reached, in fact, it's a very strange concept to kind of reconcile this. You've reached a phenomenally high level of Kedusha. But sometimes your job was to help people find donkeys. I mean, I think there's kind of a deep message in that. Sometimes a person's tafkid is not necessarily going to be something so dramatic in life. But that's his tafkid. He was a Navi. So the Baal HaTanya says, Nevi'im can help you with Gashmias. But we don't have Nevi'im. We have Talmidei Chachamim. The Talmid Chacham helps you with Torah and Aveda. And you don't go to a Talmid Chacham or a Rebbe for any advice in Gashmias. Maybe you go to business experts. They may have some knowledge of the field. So this is a really famous letter where the Alter Rebbe tells his Hasidim, do not come to me with the Inyanim of Gashmias. Now, we know for sure, the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, you can read many stories of people coming to him with business decisions. And of course, among other Hasidim, that was also common. So they want to say, well, listen, even the Baal HaTanya said, don't come to me. But Lamaisa, when people asked him, he gave them answers. Meaning to say, it's not like, remember he said before, if you rush through chakras, I'm going to send spies. And if I see that you're davening too quickly, when you come to me, I will not see you. That's what he said about that. Masha Ein Kein, on this issue, he never said, if you come to me, Begashmias, I'm not going to see you. He said, it's better for you not to come. But Lamaisa, they point out, historically, if they came, he had Rachmanis for them. he tried to give them a bracha and the like. So they want to point out that this is a different type of hakpada a little bit than people who were mezalzel in tefillah and the like. But then the Alter Rebbe says a very surprising thing. So first of all, he says, what are you bothering me with Gashmias? That's not what a Rebbe is. In fact, it reminds me of a famous story. I don't think it's a Chabad story per se. I think it's about people were sitting around and arguing who has the greatest Rebbe. So one person said, I have the most fantastic Rebbe. He says, when I was sick and I was dying and I went to my Rebbe, and I asked him for a bracha for Refuah Shleima, and I got better, and my Rebbe cured me. And another person said, I was married for many years, I didn't have children, went to the Rebbe, got a bracha, and I had a child. And another person says, I was single, I didn't have a shidduch, I went to the Rebbe for a bracha, and I found my Basharit right away. So then another person said, my Rebbe is the best Rebbe of all. What happened? I had a business proposition. I asked my Rebbe what to do, and he told me to invest. I invested. I became bankrupt. I said, someone was, my family was sick. After I, for a bracha, the person died. Whatever, he kept on going over like a million mistakes. Like nothing ever happened right. So the Hasidim are looking at him and saying, what's so great about that? What's so great about your Rebbe? He says, my Rebbe is so great that even with all of this, he's still my Rebbe. Meaning he's my Rebbe because of his Torah, because of his Tzidkus. Why those things don't work out, I don't know why they don't work out. But that's not why he's my Rebbe. And because if somebody is your Rebbe because you get things, you get goodies out of him, that doesn't mean you really have a kesher. But if the pshat is, I don't get the goodies, naf al piche. With the Brisker Rav, they say that there was a certain, the Brisker Rav was, not prochus, Brisk b'chlal is, they're mezalzel in Hasidus. They don't like Hasidim that much. But there was a certain Hasidus Rebbe the Brisker Rav was very close to. And somebody asked him, like, why are you so close to, why do you like this Rebbe? He says, well, this is my type of Hasidus Rebbe. What happens? Somebody needs a shidduch. So they go to the Rebbe. So instead of the Rebbe giving him a skula, drink water, walk around Kibbutz Rachel 7 times, the Rebbe says, oh, you want a shidduch? Learn Maseches Kedushin Be'im. A person comes and he wants parnasa in business. So the Rebbe says, oh, you have to learn Bava Metzia with the Shita Mekubetzis. He says, all of these things. Now, this Rebbe didn't have a lot of Hasidim. You know, I'm not going to go to a Rebbe. You've got to learn Kedushin, but Metzia. You know? He says, he doesn't have a lot of Hasidim. But the Rebbe says, that's my type of Rebbe. That's the type of Rebbe that I really like. And it's kind of what the Balei Tanya is saying, that, you know, you don't go for gimmicks, you don't go for nisim, you're not Isaac in Gashmiyah so much, you go to a Rebbe for Hadracha in Avodah Hashem. But then he goes on, and he takes a very interesting turn. It's a little schwer. He says like this, he says, you know, when Hashem gives you Yisurin, he says, you shouldn't even try to escape the Yisurim, because they are part of Hashem's love to bring you to tshuva. He says, he gives an example. If a parent who is wise and righteous is hitting the son, because the son needs discipline, the son should not try to escape, and the son shouldn't even look for a defender. The son should be soivel, the hakais of the parent, because the parent is doing it for his own good. So the Balei Tanya seems to say the very attempt to get out of Yisurim is really a lack of emuna that Hashem is giving you what you need in life. And the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Eis asher yehoev Hashem yochiach. He whom Hashem loves, he gives tochacha and musar. The example that's given is, if my son misbehaves, I may discipline. If I see some other kid misbehaving, I'm going to ignore it, because lo yichbatli, it doesn't make a big difference to me. When I love somebody, I want them to be the best they can be. So memela, that's why, you know, you may have a lot of goyim, a lot of people, Hashem, lets them do whatever they do. Klal Yisrael, we don't get away with things. Eis asher yehoev. Hashem Yochiach. So here the Balei Tanya is saying a very surprising thing. Now, I assume he can't mean you shouldn't daven. I mean, if you really, that Hashem should give you refuah, but he says you don't go around seeking ways to get out of Hashem's gezeiros. Rather, you accept Hashem's gezeiros with love, and you understand it is for your good, and you understand that it will bring you to a better place. And you don't go from city to city, Rebbe to Rebbe, trying to find ways to outsmart Hashem. By tzaddik goes there, the tzaddik decrees, like Kadosh Baruch Hu Makayim, and Hashem will keep, right? That's what we say. The tzaddik will be geyser and Hashem will listen. They say when the Chafetz Chaim died, so they asked the Chafetz Chaim's son, Reb Leib, who was a big Talmud Chacham too, you know, Chazal say, a tzaddik decrees, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Makayim, the decree of the tzaddik. Can you give me examples of the tzaddik geyser v'Kadosh Baruch Hu Makayim, that the Chafetz Chaim decreed and Hashem listened? So Reb Leib says, I'm sure there are cases like that. But I want you to know, my father was less interested in tzaddik geyser v'Kadosh Baruch Hu Makayim, and was more interested in HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there, the tzaddik Mekayim. My father did not live his life to give orders to Hashem. My father lived his life to be Mekabel and obey HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so that's what the Baal HaTanya is saying over here. He says, besides the fact that he says, a Chacham doesn't necessarily have a Yediyah in Gashmias. And that's not the purpose of a Rebbe. But Bichlal, the concept of trying to escape from things, he says, you're makabel Hashem's toichecha bi'ava, and you understand that it will bring you to a good place, right? So this is the, again, actually probably the most famous of the letters. This is letter Chaf Beis. But now, let's go back to Tzedakah. And here, let's look, and this will already go in order, let's look at letter Gimel, Michtav Igeris Gimel. And this is a relatively short letter, but it's not an easy letter. And it's based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. And the pasuk says, "Vayilbash tzedaka kisiryain, v'kova Yeshua bereishai." He will wear charity like chain mail. Right? You know how the knights of the Middle Ages, actually obviously in the ancient world as well, chain mail is like armor, but instead of being a solid piece of metal, it's like scales. It's much lighter, it's more flexible, right? You can bend, right? If I have if I'm in a metal suit, I can't bend. Chain mail are like scales. I'm made of metal, but it's one scale on top of another scale. They overlap, and that gives you flexibility, etc. So it says, tzedakah is like chain mail, v'kova Yeshua, and a hat, a helmet of salvation. So what is being described in this pasuk simply is that tzedakah is like body armor. I mean, that's what it's saying. Tzedakah protects you from many, many bad things. It's like you're wearing armor. Right? You have armor, you have a helmet, it protects you from all of the pegaim, and indeed the pasuk says in Mishlei as well, famous pasuk, tzedakah tatzil mimaves, tzedakah saves a person from death. Rav Hillel tells a story. Again, I mean, obviously it doesn't always happen. If I don't give tzedakah, a person dies. You know, it doesn't happen that way, but Rav Hillel tells the story, and he says he still gets upset when he tells the story. It's a very upsetting story, that he had a certain person who was a very generous contributor to Rav Hillel's different mostos. So the man was in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Hillel told him, listen, why don't you give me your annual donation now, kind of about time, instead of waiting at the end of the year, why don't you give it now? And Rav Hillel had a feeling, he didn't know what it was from, that the person really should give it now. And the person said, well, I don't give it now, I'll give it to you, in my normal time, I don't want to give it now. And Rav Hillel said, you know, I just have a feeling you should give it now. And the person said, you know, L'may nafka mina, why do I have to give it now? Anyway, so the person left without giving. Later that night, he calls up Rapillo. He's sobbing. He's crying. He had an adult son in New York. And the son just died of a sudden heart attack. And Rapillo said, he thinks that he had a hergish. He had a subconscious hergish, like a Ruach HaTodesh, whatever. That there was a gzeira ra, that there was a chi of Nisa on this person, on the son, and he's batuach, that had the person given staka before it happened, this would have been staka, tatzel, and imavis. Okay, quite amazing. Raphilo said that, I mean, he tells the story to make a point, but it's still very upsetting to this day. So the pasuk compares tzedakah to siryain. Siryain is body armor, and kaiva Yeshua. And the Gemara in Bava Basra has a drasha. Why is tzedakah compared to a chain mail armor? Mas siryain zeh kol klipo klipa mitzterefes the siryain gadol. Every little scale by itself doesn't protect you, but all the scales together add up. It's something very powerful. So tztaka as well. Every little pruta will be mitztarev to a cheshbon gadol. Now again, the problem is, what exactly is the chiddush? So here, let me just explain what the Alter Rebbe does here. This is a little bit Kabbalistic. We know that the world, the universe, I should say, the universes exist on four levels. And you know, we've talked about at least the vocabulary before. We have Atsilas, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. It's called Avya. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. Avya. Atsilas is the world of emanation. That is the first world. It's totally spiritual, where God's light gets revealed on some spiritual level. And then it gets concretized and more physical in Bria, and then Yetzira, and then finally this physical world of Asiya. Right? The light of Hashem gets contracted, it gets covered up, it gets physicalized, it gets magusham, more and more and more and more, going from Atsilas all the way to Asiya. Now, in each of these worlds, the light of Hashem permeates through 10 spheros. So there are these spheros of Chochma, Bina, Das, and then Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod Yisod, Malchus. And that goes through in every sphera. So there is the Chochma of Atzilus, which is the highest of the Madregas. The Chochma of Atzilus. And that goes all the way to the Malchus of Atzilus. And the Malchus of Atzilus becomes the lowest Madrega of the higher world, becomes the highest Madrega of the next world. That's why Keser is the highest Madrega. Malchus and Keser are very similar. Malchus of Atzilus becomes Keser of Bria. Malchus of Bria becomes Keser of Yetzirah. Malchus of Yetzirah becomes Keser of Asiya, and that's our world. So what you have is, you have four worlds. You have the light of Hashem that's permeating through the 10 spheros in each of these worlds. And each yerida, each time it goes down, even within a world, it is getting progressively more physicalized and materialized, till we have the world of Asiya, which we're in. Now, that light, the light that operates through the Sfira system, is called Ora Pnimi. That's the inner light. That's the light, that's the gas, that's the fuel by which God enables these worlds to exist. It's the Ora Pnimi. Now remember the famous passage that's quoted in Nefesh HaChayim, it's quoted in the Tanya, it's in many Sidurim, Sephardic Sidurim. The passage of the Zohar that's called Pasach Eliyahu. Some of you might, do you say Pasach Eliyahu? It's in the Siddur. It's a passage of the Zohar that talks about the Sfiras, and the famous phrase, everyone knows this phrase, Hashem is called Memale Kolomen. He fills the world. V'Seivev Kolomen. And he surrounds the world. Hashem is described in two ways. He is Memale, that's the inner light, and he surrounds. So the way this is understood is that Memale is kind of the light of Hashem that's within us, our neshamas, or the light that's within the universe, the light that operates within the sphere systems. That's Mekayim Debriya. But in addition to the light that is within, that's Mekayim Debriya, there's an infinite nature of God's light that cannot be contained within any type of vessel. And that's called the Makif or the Sovev. Makif and Sovev are the same word. Meaning, Mamale Kolalmin is the part of God that we can comprehend. That's within me, within the universe. Sovev or Makif is the part that is so infinite that it cannot be contained in any type of gavul, and it's outside of the spheres. On a cosmic level, it surrounds the spheres of Atzilus, Bri, Yetzirah, and Asiya. On an individual level, it surrounds me. It's the kind of the God that surrounds me. So that represents the infinite aspect of God that is not susceptible to any type of containment. Right, so that's called the Makif or the Sovev. Now he says, every time you do a mitzvah, any mitzvah, you're Moshech, or you are pulling down light from the infinity into this world, into all the worlds. That's Tzilus, Bri, Yetzirah, and Asiya. But it remains outside of those worlds as a Makif. It doesn't go in. Tzedakah is different. Tzedakah actually draws from that light of the makif into the sviros themselves, and in the case of an individual, into your neshama. Meaning to say, what is normally an external, non-containable element of godliness can enter. And he says ingeniously, this is why tzedakah is compared to chain mail. Unlike a solid piece of metal that nothing can go through, the chain mail has openings. That allows the infinite light of the makif to actually enter your neshama and enter the world. That's why tzedakah brings geula, because it enters the world. That is why tzedakah is matzil you, because you are permeated with an infinite light. And therefore the idea that tzedakah is like siryain connotes there are openings that let the infinite light of the makif permeate. For other mitzvahs, it remains a makif. And because it remains a makif, in this world, you can't get anything out of it. Meaning, that's why we say the only reward is Olam Haba. When you're no longer in a guf, then you can get that light too. When you're in a guf, it's not shayach to get that light. That's the meaning of the statement. Schar mitzvah in this world, there isn't. But tzedakah, you get that light even in this world, and that's why it is called Syrian. Now he then makes a bit of a complicated statement, because on one hand, chain mail lets it in, but it also keeps it out from spreading. And he makes the point that there is an issue here, that once infinite divine energy enters the world, it could be used by forces of evil and forces of negativity. So you really have two issues. How can I absorb that infinite energy? And how do I prevent it from being misused in destructive ways? That's the idea of the Syrian. The Syrian lets it in, and then it keeps it from coming out and spreading in improper ways. Okay, and that is the idea of why tzedakah is such a great mitzvah. Now, he doesn't say why exactly. He doesn't fully explain why does tzedakah have this characteristic. But he says the characteristic of tzedakah is it. Not every mitzvah, every mitzvah, creates an infusion from the Or Ein Sof that becomes a makif around the world and around you. But it does not enter into the Or of the Spheres. The tzedakah creates an infusion of that infinite light into the Or of the Spheres, and particularly into your individual neshama, and that is why it is like siryain, which has little openings that allow it to come in doses that I can absorb. In other words, I need the armor. Without the armor, a person could die of radiation poisoning, so to speak, meaning it's too powerful. The armor lets a little bit in so I can absorb it, right? So this is a tremendous idea about the notion of tzedakah, and this is why it is makarev the geula as well, because as the whole world gets raised and infused with infinite energy, spirit, godliness rather, godly energy, we get closer and closer to that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to bring the geula.
What exactly falls under tzedakah? Chesed,
so it's interesting. I mean, the Gemara in Sukkah says that Gemilas Chesed is actually greater than Tzedakah. The Gemara says that because Tzedakah is only with your money. Gemilas Chesed is with your guf and your time and your property and your effort. So the Chayra Gemilas Chesed would qualify as Tzedakah too. Any time that you selflessly give of yourself or your money to help another person, that would be Nichlal in this idea of tzedakah. Now he then goes on in Igeres Dalet to make a related point. It overlaps, and he says that we've established that tzedakah connects the inner light of your soul with the infinite light of God that is surrounding your soul and the universe. That light is so infinite that it normally could not be contained within you or within the universe. But tzedakah creates a pinhole, so to speak, for that light to come in. So he says like this. He says that the idea is that there are two psukim about circumcision of the heart. One pasuk says, "Umaltem es besar levavchem," you shall circumcise the orla of your heart. That implies you have to do it. Then we have another pasuk that says, "Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha the es levav zaracha." Hashem will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. In fact, that's one of the Ramazim of Elul. "Umal Hashem Elokecha es levavcha the es levav Elul zaracha." Now, circumcision of the heart does not mean literally cutting away the heart. That would not be safe. But it means removing the blockages, allowing me to connect to Hashem. All of us have blockages. Egotism, gaiva, selfishness. This is orlas halev. It covers up. We remove it. We're connected to Hashem. But the Baal HaTanya says, the Torah describes it in two different ways. One is, I remove the orla of my heart by tshuva. The other is Hashem removes the orla of my heart. So which is it? Is it what I do? Is it what Hashem does? So the Baal HaTanya says it's really both, because we find by a bris mila itself, by physical bris mila, there are two maisim that the mohel does. One is called Mila. Mila is cutting away the foreskin. And then there's a second ceremony that has to be done called Priya, folding over what's left to expose the top of the male organ. And it's brought down by Halacha. Mal v'loy para. If a person only did the Chituch without the Priya, Ki'ilu lo mal. That's a famous joke, because the word para over there means uncover. But para also means pay, right? Pirayin. So somebody once didn't want to pay a mail, so the mail said, you know, mal v'loy para, neither lo mal. You mal without paying. That's already a pun. But para there refers to uncovering. So the Bala Tanya says like this, the two statements, Hashem circumcises your heart, and then you circumcise, corresponds to Mila and Priya, because Mila removes what is called the klipa hagasa, the big heavy, the big thick foreskin that has to be cut. Priya is, there's like a thin, after the foreskin has been cut, there's a thin membrane that's loose, but it's a thin membrane that you have to bend and that. So Mila removes the gasa, and Priya removes or folds over what's called the daka. So he says, in Tshuva it's the same thing. When I am filled with taivas, and I'm connected to Gashmias, that is like a big klipa of orla that prevents me from connecting to Hashem. It's my achrayas to remove that orla. That's my chiyuv. But even if I remove the klipa hagasa, I'll still be attached to some degree to Gashmias and Havlei Olam. I can't totally get rid of that. So that's where Hashem steps in. You've done as much as you can do. Umalten, you've done the Mila. So then I say, B'derech sha'adam reitzei leilech malicha noso, Hashem will do the Priya. So now it's beautiful. So it starts off with what? Umaltem. You have to do the work to separate yourself from the gross taivas of the world. And then, even though there's still a Yetzirah within you, Hashem will take care of the rest. Umal Hashem alaykecha eslovavcha. Right? So it's you do the Mila, which is the Klipa Hagasa, and Hashem does the Priya, which is the Klipa Daka. So the Baal Tanya's point is that tzedakah is one of the ways that you remove your attachment to the physical. You earned your money, you worked hard, you don't have a lot of it anyway. It's very chaviv to you, it's very chashiv to you. You want to use it for things that you need in Olam Hazeh, and yet you're willing to give it up. You're willing to sacrifice it. You're willing to give it to the aniyim or to achzakas teira. What you're doing is you're circumcising your heart. You are removing the klipa gasa. And when you remove the klipa gasa, Hashem will then help you even remove the klipa daka. And then when you remove the orla of your heart, this ties into what he said in Letter Gimel, then your heart will be open to receive the infinite light of Hashem that only existed as a makif, something that surrounded you, but now you can bring it mamash to be within you. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was just ask, remember, if a person is trying to get to bring away the title, does he work with it, like, the method, is it that I don't want anymore, or is it more that I want to shun more than my physical titles?
Well, I think basically the idea would be that ultimately it's you want Hashem more than the taiva, but as long as you have the taiva, you can't have that feeling. So he says, tzedakah, so according to this, the idea of tzedakah is a lesson against a different perspective. Until now we were looking at tzedakah as chesed, which is bigger, it is. Now he's looking at tzedakah as a form of renunciation and controlling your taivas. Now there's a different, it's a shtickle different nekuda, because your taivas is an orla that's ma'akev you from thinking about Hashem. And when I give up the money that I'm so connected to, what I'm doing is I'm choteich the orla. And even though I'm still connected to taiva on some level, that's like the klipa katana, and Hashem will do the priya. Right. So it's an interesting idea, meaning he's looking at tzedakah here in terms of the hardship and renunciation of that which is very chaviv to you. And that itself is chotech, the orlas halev, which is kind of another supplementary explanation of why it's like the chain mail that lets in the infinite light. Because when there's no orla, the mela, your heart is pasuach to receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shefa. Right? So this is some letters of the Alter Rebbe on the inyan of tzedakah. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Y'all have a good week. Next week, I don't see why we can't have it. Next week is Slichos, but Slichos is like 12 o'clock or something. So we can have our regular. We can have our regular show. 9%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Question.
Yeah.
I heard never could verify this, but someone told me that if you have Yisurim, you said that if you have Yisurim, you shouldn't try to get out of it.
That's what the Rebbe says. Yeah.
Yes. But someone told me that if you pray for it, and it's possible that you will get rid of your Yisurim.
You get what? They
get rid of Yisurim, yeah. It goes away. But still it counts like you had it until the end, like you get the same kapara. But you prayed for it.
If it was removed by tefillah.
Yes.
Never
verified this.
I don't know. I have to see. I didn't hear that directly. Now, obviously, we don't consider tefillah to be bad. I mean, that's why the Alter Rebbe, a little bit of a chiddush to me. If you read his words literally, he seems to be even saying you don't even daven to have it taken away. And that, I think, is very, very difficult. Because we do pray, in Shemona Esrei we pray, to have the Yisurin taken away. Yeah.
Didn't Alter Rebbe also, if he wasn't exactly against people fasting,
He's not. That's correct. In the Egeres HaTshuva, he talks about the Arizal had many, many fasts for all different Averis. And he says not to go through the whole schedule, but he does have a modified schedule of fasting. So even after he says, shouldn't fast today, we're weak, we can't concentrate, but he does talk about quite a lot of fasting, even on a modified schedule.
So, I don't know, this seems to kind of fit like a similar overlap of like sort of not being, sort of accepting a certain amount of pain.
Accepting about a certain amount of pain, yeah. Well, you know too, that the Alter Rebbe lived at the time that Napoleon invaded Russia, which he eventually was defeated, but there was a machlokas. The Jews in Russia were tremendously persecuted, tremendously. And Napoleon promised emancipation, freedom, civil rights. And in fact, the Jews under Napoleon did have a lot of rights. So there was a machlokas among the Gedolim in Russia. Should we pray for the Tsar to win or Napoleon to win? So most said, Napoleon, the Tsar is awful. Napoleon will give us Rachmanis. The Baal HaTanya said we're better off with the Tsar. Because the Tsar oppresses us, so we know we can't be like the Goyim. Napoleon will give us unlimited opportunities to be like the Goyim. The Tsar kills our neshamas. The Tsar kills our guf. Napoleon will kill the neshama. Quite amazing. So the emes is that the Baal HaTanya raised money for the Tsarist armies against Napoleon. And in fact, Napoleon, of course, was defeated in Russia. He was, because of the Russian winters, he could not do it. So it's interesting that like 100 years later, after the Russian Revolution in 1917, the Russians, the communists, used that as an excuse to put the Chabad rebbes in jail. They said, oh, you're a, what do they call it, counter-revolutionary. You're a monarchist. You're a supporter of the Tsar. I mean, that wasn't the real reason, but they used it as a Pesach against the Schneerson family, that they were supporters of the Tsar, and in communist Russia, that was a big crime, in Vilek. So you're right. So the Alter Rebbe kind of held that a tough life, a rough life, a suffering life, has certain milas. It keeps you humble, keeps you connected to Hashem. You're less involved in the gashmias of Eilam Hazeh. So you're right. He was not promising, and he was not offering, and he was not encouraging an easy lifestyle. Okay, I'll have a good week. Yep.